is Steve Coleman with your Daily Inspiration, still meditating on the love of God and the implications for us as Christians. And I guess as I think about the various scriptures that we've memorized over the years and think about how they relate to what God is telling us about love, we have this in 1 John chapter 4. And verse 16, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." And so, beloved, that's where it starts, and that's the question. Have you known the love that God has? So I think that sometimes there's a, and this is no fault of the individual, but sometimes the experience is merely a head knowledge, you know. There's no sense of desperation, and so therefore there's no sense of knowing the love that God has. But, beloved, consider that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's the love that God had for us. While there was no relationship established, God reached out and crossed that chasm and made a way that we can have a relationship with him. That's the desire, that's the love that he has for us. So here it says, "We have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love." Now, that's why, that's the essence, that's the key to this whole subject. As I was thinking about it here in the last couple days, and thinking about the commandment that Jesus gives, and how that the coming of the Spirit of God is contingent upon the performance of the commandment. But the commandment isn't, beloved, it isn't a set of New Testament rules. It isn't the law written in the New Testament. And, beloved, it isn't even the law written on the fleshly tables of our hearts. But it's the law of love. It's what Jesus said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another." So that's the commandment, and here is the reason, because God is love. God is love. And then it says here in 1 John 4:16, "He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God." So what an amazing, I mean, this is yet another way of considering our relationship, and that is that he that dwells in love dwells in God. That's stunning. That's a revelation for us, that if we want to walk with God, we want to walk as God on this earth, we want to be light for God, on the behalf of God, as an ambassador of the kingdom of heaven, however you want to say that, what we must do is we must walk in love. And that means the same kind of love that Jesus Christ had for the sinner. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. That's what he means when he says, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love." How did he love us? While we were yet sinners, he loved us. Did he love the sin? Did he love us so much that we can continue to sin in his presence? Of course not. But he loved us enough to give us the remedy, to encourage us and to bring us out of that miry clay. And so that's the challenge for us, beloved. And I just want to put it out before us that too often we grow up and we call it a culture, we call it a church setting maybe, but we grow up in a setting that is a setting that lacks, it's without love. It's without this very thing that we're talking about. It's lacking the willingness to die for another. It's lacking while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. We grow up in a setting that says, yes, I love those that are exactly like me, those that have the victory, those that have gone beyond, those whatever, however you want to say it. And beloved, I'm afraid in too many denominations, it's those that have passed the test of the denomination, those that have met the entrance criteria, if you will, those I love. But the others, no, I don't have to love them. They're not my brothers. You know, they're on the outside. I just don't judge. I just don't know. I just don't care. But beloved, God said, as I, as the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. And so the challenge, the message that Christ has for us in that is that we have to lay aside that prejudice. We have to lay aside that concept that it's only as someone meets my criteria and meets up with all of my demands and commands in his life that I then love him, and then I then bring him in, and then I have fellowship with him. I open up the table, and we sit down together, and we sup together, and we have, you know, beloved, that's not the love of God. That's not the love of Christ. The love of Christ didn't say to each one of us individually, clean yourself up, and once you've met up with my expectations, then I will meet up with you. No, the love of Christ is that reaching out while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. Does love get returned? Absolutely. Love, it's like that phrase, the passage that says, cast thy bread upon the waters. We cast our love upon the waters, and after many days maybe, that love gets returned. Christ did the same. He cast his love out upon the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And sometimes it's returned, but sadly, beloved, I'm afraid that we don't return it with the love of our lives, with the passion of our lives, but somehow it's returned in a half-hearted way, and I'm guilty of that too. I get wrapped up with other people that I'm, you know, maybe I'm fellowshipping together with, and we get fixated on things other than the source and the power of our Christian life and the strength which brings light to the world, and that light is love, right? So here it is. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. That's it, the hope of glory. That's the God in him is the promise of the Holy Spirit. So here again we have it, that the Spirit of God dwells in the believer that expresses, that practices the love of God. That's why Jesus said, this is my commandment, that you love one another. And that's why he said back in John wrote down that Jesus said that he said, you know, you are to love one another, and then I will pray the Father and he will send a comforter. It's almost a prerequisite to the coming of the Spirit of God to walk in love. And all right, so here we are. Herein is our love made perfect. Now, In this, and this is that he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, in that is our love mature. And in that may we have boldness in the day of judgment. You know, there's something about if we walk on this earth and we walk as Jesus walked on the earth, then in the day of judgment, in the day that we face the Lord, that yes, indeed, we'll have boldness because we will know that we've been walking and having the heart of God and we've been communing with God. In fact, the very love of God has been flowing out of our lives and touching others. And so, yes, of course, in that will we have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is love, so are we in this world. So if as he is, God is love, if we are the same way, we are love in this world, then indeed we will have boldness in the day of judgment. Beautiful, isn't it? There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Let me just skip down here to verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Beloved, that's what it's all about. That's why we have to see the sacrifice. We have to see what God did for us in such a way that it brings about that love reaction. That, you know, I was desperate. I was drunk on the passion of self, and I was destined for the penalty of of sin, right? And I became desperate for the relationship with God. And somehow in all of that, what comes forth out of that is this passionate, absolute, surrendered love for Jesus Christ. We love him because he first loved us. So, beloved, remember that when we are reaching out, when we are interacting. You know, we can sing all these wonderful songs, So Send I You, right? And all these kind of beautiful songs that we sing. But if our attitude, if our underlying attitude is an attitude that shuts people out of our lives, then, beloved, we are not loving. We are not fulfilling the commandment. We are not bringing glory to God. We are not shining as a light in this world. What shines as a light, pure and simple, is the extent that we line up with God, and God is love. So this is so critical, and it's so important, and it's so overlooked in our churches. So much we get in our minds that the church is a place of perfection, and it's, you know, it's, quote, not a hospital. It's, you know, beloved, it's a place of love. The church is a place of love. It is a center of love. And if that means that someone that's hurt and hurting and bleeding and wounded comes in, then, beloved, what they need is love. And if it means that someone that's proud and arrogant comes in, they need to be loved, right? If someone comes in that's mistaken and that's confused, they need love. That's what we need to exude. That is the power of God. Now listen, it's going to keep going here. Okay. If a man say, in verse 20, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. How can we say that I love God, but here comes a brother and I hate him? For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Do you see it? God is saying, this is the test. If you have to ask yourself the question, do I love God with all of my heart and mind and soul and strength? If you can easily hate your brother, if you can resent him, if you can envy him, the answer is built into the passage here. The answer is no. In fact, you haven't experienced the love of God the way that God wants you to. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Get it? See, and here is the power of God. Here is the God dwelleth in him, is when we practice love, God dwells in us. That's where we begin to see the greater things that Jesus said we would experience. These things shall he do, and greater things beside. Beloved, there is something here that we need to touch upon. We need to me, I'm seeing something that is so essential and so critical and such a kernel of the truth that God has for us. It's like the essence boiled down, the essence of the truth. We can, you know, I began to research love a little bit too, because not only have I been meditating on it and thinking on as I'm driving, I think of verses that come back to me. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but what's the greatest? Of course the greatest is love. And so as I begin to think and I begin to research and I begin to look, and I realize that all through the New Testament, shot through it everywhere, God is telling us to love. That's what he's commanding us to do. He's telling us that this is my commandment, that you love one another. And so I don't know how, I'm trying not to oversell it, but beloved, we are failing the test of love. And you know, here it says right here that as he is, so are we in this world. We may have boldness in the day of judgment. We're going to fail to have boldness in the day of judgment. We're going to fail in the day of judgment before God if we fail to be as he is in this world. And I believe that we're also going to fail the test of power. We're going to fail the test of ability, and we're going to fail the commandment that Jesus had, which is go into all the world and preach the gospel. Beloved, we preach the gospel. It's a gospel of love. God bless you, and I pray that this would make a change in your life and that you too could be encouraged as we meditate together on this subject.